Asee visata mahindram tamifa vimadam pradat kasayod vasya yamunam chakre sau nirvisodakam. Krishna chastised the most poisonous serpent, Kaliya, and after humbling him, he drove him forcibly from the lake of the Jamuna. In this way, the Lord made the water of that river free of the snake's powerful poison. So this one, 13, will do responsively. I'll go through the Sanskrit and English first. Okay. Jushtya Jaha. Cha Anuraga Asmin Sarvesham Naha Rajoksha Nanda He Tanaye Asmasu Tasya Api Outpatikaha Katam. Now responsibly. Dusya jas chanu ragosmin. Dusya jas chanu ragosmin. Sarvesham no brajo kasam. Sarvesham no brajo kasam. Nandate tanaye smasu. Nandate tanaye smasu. Kasya pyautpatika katam. Kasya pyautpatika katam. Dusya jas chanu ragosmin. Sarvesham no vrajokasam. Nandate tanaye smasu. Kasya pyautpatika katam. Please chant. Chanu ragosmin. Sarvesham no vrajokasam. Nandate tanaye smasu. Kasya pyautpatika katam. Dusya jas chanu ragosmin. Sarvesham no vrajokasam. Ladies, all right, children together, girls first. Your class, okay.
Yusya
yas chanuragosmin.
Sarvesham no
vrajokasam.
Nandate
tanaye smasu. Kasya pyautpatika katam. Jusya jas chanuragosmin. Sarvesham no vrajokasam. Nandate tanaye smasu. Kasya pyautpatika katam. Sorry, thank you. Jusya jas. Impossible to give up.
Impossible to give up.
Cha. And. Anuraga.
Anuraga.
Loving affection.
Loving affection.
Asmin.
Asmin.
For him.
For him.
Sarvesham.
Sarvesham.
On the part of all.
On the part of all.
Na.
Na.
Us. Braja Oksham.
Braja Oksham.
The residents of Braja.
Nanda.
Nanda.
Dear Nanda Maharaj.
Dear Hey,
your.
Tanaye.
For the sun.
Asmasu.
Toward us.
Tasya.
On his part.
Happy.
Also.
Autpatikaha.
Natural.
Katam.
How.
Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Dear Nanda, how is it that we and all the other residents of Braja cannot give up our constant affection for your son? And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us? Please repeat. Dear Nanda,
dear Nanda,
how is it that we
and all the other residents of
Braja cannot give up our constant affection for your son?
And how is it that he
is so spontaneously attracted to us? Purport. The very word Krishna means the all-attractive one. The residents of Vrindavan could not give up their constant love, Anuraga, for Lord Krishna. Their attitude toward him was not particularly theistic, because they were unsure whether he was God or not. But he attracted all their love precisely because, as God, he is the all-attractive person, the supreme object of our love. The cowherd men also asked, how is it that young Krishna feels such constant love for us? In fact, the Supreme Lord loves all living beings who are eternally his children. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna dramatically declares his affection for Arjuna and encourages Arjuna to reciprocate that love by surrendering to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, states, Etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midrishat iha janunanuraga. My Lord, you are so merciful toward me, but I am so unfortunate that love for you has not awakened within me. Sikshastika 2. In this statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also uses the word anurag. Our misfortune is that we cannot reciprocate the anurag, or loving affection, that the Lord feels for us. Although we are infinitesimal and insignificant, and the Lord is infinitely attractive, somehow we do not give him our love. We must accept responsibility for this foolish decision, since to surrender to God or not is the essential expression of our free will. The Krishna Consciousness Movement provides an efficient, systematic program to help conditioned souls revive their original blissful consciousness, which is love of God, Krishna consciousness. The intricacies of Krishna consciousness are so wonderful that even Krishna's eternal associates, the residents of Vrindavan, are astonished by them, as shown by these verses. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnantana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Radhana Sanditam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Nrisimha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Rata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchar Kalpa Taru Vyaischa Kripa Sindhu Vyaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Srivastadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, who can tell me what the name Krishna means? Okay. Yes. Beautiful is one of the qualities of Krishna. All attractive. That was what it said in the beginning of the purport. But since you mentioned Krishna's beauty, I think it would be nice if we also saw whether the students remembered the other five attractive qualities. Yes. All renowned? All knowing? Well, wealthy? All famous, all knowing, and we heard already all attractive. Did we get them all? All wealth, strength, knowledge, fame, beauty, and renunciation. Very good. So that's actually a list of six qualities enumerated by the great sage Parasara Muni in describing the word Bhagavan. You know, when we read Bhagavad Gita, what that phrase means, Bhagavad Gita in English? Anybody? Children? Bhagavad Gita means the song of God, exactly. And so Bhagavan refers to the Supreme Lord, but especially in his fullness. And there's a one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that is said, we have four nutshell verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but there's one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which is said to contain the essence of the entire Bhagavatam. Does anybody happen to know what it is? Okay, it comes in the third canto after a long list of different incarnations of the, of God. And who knows, it may recite with Ete Changsa Kalapum Sam Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Mokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. So especially the first two lines are so often quoted as you get older and start studying Srila Prabhupada's books more, you'll see he refers to these two lines so very often. And especially the line that says, Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam. So Bhagavan means that, as was described in today's purport, that Krishna is so very attractive. He's so very attractive. Why? Because he's full in all these six opulences. He's the most wealthy. Everything's coming from Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna actually says to Krishna at one point, you are everything. And in other places, Krishna describes how people in the world can see him manifest in nature. So, but particularly Krishna, the child of Nanda Maharaj, who has his pastimes in Vrindavan, is so extremely attractive because of his loving dealings with the devotees. So
an important point in today's purport is that we are infinitesimal and insignificant. Does anybody know the meaning of the word infinitesimal? It's a big word. It means tiny. And the word infinite, got an idea? Infinite means very great. It can't be measured. So the difference between ourselves, we're infinitely small. Prabhupada would pronounce infinitesimal. But the normal English pronunciation is infinitesimal, and it means just as the Lord or the universe, things that can't be measured, they're infinite. In the other direction, so small, you can barely see it, so insignificant, that's our position, infinitesimal. We're teeny, tiny. Does anybody know the dimension of the spirit soul as described in the scriptures? 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair. So especially the girls who can pull their long hair around in front of them and look at the tip. Just imagine the very tip of your hair. If it were divided into 100 pieces, that itself is inconceivable. And then one of those 100 pieces is divided up again into 100 pieces. That's how small we are as spirit souls. And actually, it's also described that the soul can't be measured, along with not being able to be cut or burned or dried. It also can't be measured, but it can be perceived. So I definitely can't do the wonderful detailed drawing on all the previous acharyas' commentaries, but I did make a phone call this morning and inquire from Chaturatma Prabhu. I know that the demons in Krishna, in Vrindavan Leela, the demons that Krishna and Balaram chastise, punish, and often kill, they represent certain unwanted qualities or anarthas within our hearts. And it's said that simply by hearing about how Krishna kills and punishes the different demons, the more we hear the pastimes, those unwanted qualities that are in our hearts will diminish more and more. So the demon Pralamba, according to the acharyas, who was killed by Balaram, represents the lusty desire for the opposite sex, and also the subtle sex desire of profit, adoration, and distinction. So these are kind of manifest in the desire to seem like we think we know more than others. We think we're prettier or more clever than others. We want people to notice how smart, intelligent, beautiful, talented, and witty we are. And we forget that actually no one can be smarter, more beautiful, more talented, more charming than Krishna. So the more we hear about Krishna, naturally these tendencies to think of ourselves as supremely unique will diminish. And when we're actually able to see Krishna, we'll be so naturally humbled that we won't have to make artificial attempts for humility. And then and one thing about the demons killed by Balaram represent qualities, just as when we hear about the demons who were killed or punished by Krishna, this is what the acharyas have said, that simply by hearing those pastimes, the bad qualities within our hearts will disappear. But the demons killed by Balaram represent qualities within our heart that we have to take a more proactive role in quelling or diminishing. So that's one, the demon Pralamba, who represents a lust or the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. We have to make a special effort to curb those tendencies when we see them in ourselves. Then Krishna saved Braja's cowherd boys and their animals from a forest fire. And this forest fire, the second time Krishna swallowed up a whole forest fire, once wasn't enough. The second forest fire represents the atheistic tendency for philosophies that are atheistic. So by swallowing that forest fire, Krishna protected all the inhabitants of Vrindavan from having misunderstandings based on wrong philosophies. And in the third verse, where Krishna chastised the most poisonous serpent, Kaliya, Kaliya represents just very, very malicious qualities and poisoning the minds of Vrindavan. You remember Kaliya's breath was so poisonous, and his presence in the lake poisoned the lake so badly that first the calves went to drink the water of the lake and they all apparently died. And the cowherd boys also, they were drinking from the lake and they also seemed to die. So, and what to speak of drinking the water, birds that were simply flying over the lake in the Jamuna at the spot where Kaliya was, birds would fall down dead just after breathing the vapors that were coming up. So these poisons emanating from the body of Kaliya were so virulent, they were so extreme, that they could kill these people so easily. But Krishna, in punishing Kaliya, if you remember from Krishna book, as Krishna began to dance on the serpents' heads, gradually he became weaker and weaker, and in the end he was vomiting up blood and poisonous gases. But he was also, by vomiting up those poisons from within, he himself was getting rid of them. And gradually, the more his head was kicked on by Krishna's lotus feet, heads, there were so many of them, the more that his heads were kicked by Krishna's lotus feet, the more he became purified. So as he was vomiting up these poisons, his heart was becoming cleansed. And eventually, he began to realize that Krishna was the Lord and surrendered to him somewhat belatedly. But because of this surrender, then he wasn't actually killed, but simply sent far away. And now it is said that Kaliya lives, or the lake where he was sent is what is now Fiji. That's why in Fiji there's a Krishna Kaliya temple, an ISKCON temple, that has a deity of Krishna dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpent. So I wanted to just elaborate a little bit further on a point that happened in yesterday's class. I know you're about ready to go. Let me just ask one question of the children before you go. Does anybody know who is Sally Agarwal? Somebody does. Yes. Yes, it is the person that Prabhupada stayed with. Yesterday, you weren't here for class, but yesterday was the anniversary of the day that Srila Prabhupada arrived in New York Harbor. And from New York, a representative from that family came and brought him to the Agarwal's house. So are you reading Lilamrita in school sometime? Okay. Well, let's hope that in some course along the way, because there's so many wonderful details about Srila Prabhupada's life that are an important part of our ISKCON history. Thank you all for coming to class. Hare Krishna. So, I noticed another thing in the purport that was stated, that our misfortune is that we cannot reciprocate the anurag, or loving affection, that the Lord feels for us. Although we are infinitesimal and insignificant, and the Lord is infinitely attractive, somehow we do not give him our love. We must accept responsibility for this foolish decision, since to surrender to God or not is the essential expression of our free will. So this acceptance of responsibility by us is the beginning of our liberation or understanding. As long as we're thinking, well, the reason I am not very Krishna conscious is because, you know, my mother punished me this morning, or because, you know, I'm too tired to get out of bed and come to Mangal Arati, or somehow the conditions, I was raised in a family, or the situation imposed upon me, we make ourselves victims. And we come up with so many excuses why I'm not able to be Krishna conscious. But if we accept the responsibility that it's by our own choice that we've gotten ourselves in a situation where we're more self-absorbed than we are absorbed in Krishna, as soon as we realize it's a choice we made, then we can change what we choose on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. It doesn't mean because I started off the day badly that the whole rest of the day has to go bad. At any moment, we're free to choose. That's the responsibility is always with us. And because as the residents of Vrindavan were saying to Nanda, we can't give up our constant affection for your son. And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us? The Lord loves all of us, each and every one of us, very dearly. And just like in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Gopakumar finally comes back to Vrindavan, Krishna greets him with so much love. I've missed you so much. And just like he missed him, he's missing each and every one of us, because our original home is with Krishna. Which is why the magazine in the Hare Krishna movement is called Back to Godhead, because we've come from Krishna, and our hearts will only be satisfied when we go back to him. So I actually always appreciate discussion, and I'm hoping that some of the points that have come up today have made people think of things they would like to add or ask. And so I'll pause and see if somebody has a question, comment, or addition. Somebody who's maybe more well-read in the acharyas can elaborate on the other demons killed by Krishna and so forth. To be comfortable. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Does it also include like the monkey races? Or like say Hanuman's type of? Kim Purusha Varsha? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the nice class, Mataji. You were mentioning about the demons that were killed, they were chastised by Lord Balaram, being ones that we need to take on more proactively ourselves. So Kalimba was lust and also the subtle lust. What about Dhenukasura? Because Krishna let him, I don't know if you know that or someone knows.
I'm hoping somebody else knows. That's why I said I had to make the call this morning. I was actually looking to listen to Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj's seminar about the demons in Vrindavan Leela. Mm. But when I was trying to do it, we had a very poor internet connection. So I was not able to rehear it, and I couldn't remember everything.
I was just wondering if pride is one of those qualities as well that we have to take on more proactively.
Well, actually, pride was one of the qualities, now that you mention it, that exists in Kaliya. There were several, and I couldn't remember them all, but pride is one of them. So it's not that we should be laissez-faire about the qualities represented by the demons killed by Krishna, but it's more a question of, in my understanding, increasing our faith in Krishna, increasing our hearing and chanting, and serving the Vaishnavas, serving the Bhagavatam, like that. And these qualities, whether they're represented by the demons, like pride, is one of the ones represented by Kaliya. But at this, and is Denukasura pride? You don't know, and I don't know, unfortunately. But the more we hear about Krishna and the Vaishnavas and their wonderful qualities, naturally we'll be humbled if we're honest, because we can see that. Like somebody was mentioning recently in a class about Didichi. Oh, it was on the women's retreat. We had a discussion. And Didichi was asked by the demigods, can we use your bones? We need some, you know, really powerful weapons. And it was like, sure, take my body right now. You know, you hear about somebody like that, oh, well, I couldn't do that. You know, so many things that or Maharaj Yudhisthira, his whole life, he never told a single lie. You know what I mean? It's like off the charts. So the more we hear about Krishna and the devotees by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then naturally unnecessary pride will be curbed. I hope, and Trivikram might add to that. You have some answer from the Kanda?
Well, maybe in subtle ways to it, it impedes us from surrendering, like when the pride is there, I don't really have to get up from under my teeth. I don't have to go to the temple every day. In a subtle way, you see. The point I want to bring up here is, we have quite a large community, but when you observe, sometimes there's just a minuscule here, I think if we want to show solidarity to the movement and to Srila Prabhupada, then, we have to definitely make that bold attempt somehow or the other, get out of the comfort zone and try to come, because
at least you're setting a good example, so that's the best way to convince. I did make it today, and my old friend Amogavirya said,
spread the word. But all of us should be conscious of it, and even the youngsters do,
Sure.
Going to college, working, whatever, Some days, even if we're busy most of the days, but a few days.
Just, and then one more point I was wondering about was with Kaliya. So, he was an aggressor to Krishna, and like you said, or something. What did you say about his qualities? That he was mean-spirited or
malicious.
Malicious, yeah. So maliciousness. But because of pride, there may be so many bad qualities that come up to the forefront, even, in this hospital, this spiritual hospital that Srila Prabhupada has provided us of ISKCON or the Hare Krishna movement. Still, there may be so many symptoms as we're kicking and screaming, Krishna and Srila Prabhupada is dragging us back by His causeless mercy back to Godhead. But speaking for myself, there's some kicking and screaming that goes on. So some qualities come out, some anger, frustration, resentment, this, that, and the other. Well, Krishna, you're not doing this for me, so why should I do that for you? You know, just different things of the mind and the senses and mm-hmm. the false ego and whatnot that they pipe up and make all kinds of trouble. So I'm just wondering about that, like Kalia, you know, was had so much mercy from Krishna that he was being kicked repeatedly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And all his different heads, you know. So we may have one big head, but he had so many big heads. So anyway, but I guess each one of our material desires could be seen as a big head.
Right. So many different aspects to our life, Krishna may crush them all at once.
Right, right. So my question is, you know, that vomiting, like you were saying, that he was being purified as he was being kicked repeatedly by Krishna, so that poison that was coming out of him, which is, represents the maliciousness, you know, the negative qualities, anartas. So he was vomiting up that poison and that blood or whatever that was like that malicious quality, and it was coming out. And so as that was coming out, he was becoming freed of them. And so then he was able to think more clearly and understand
right.
his position and accept Krishna, you know, as his master and so on. So in our situation also, you know, as we're being kicked by Maya or, you know, whatever karma or even some chastisement from the devotees or the Śrīla Prabhupāda or wherever we get it, hopefully willingly rather than unwillingly, then my question is, you know, how much do we, you know, do we have to go through that process? In other words, how much can we... Like if Krishna is purifying us, how much of our own purification is willingly accepting that, and how much is like Kaliya unwillingly but having to be kicked? In other words, I don't want to be kicked, you know, as much as possible. I want to be kicked less. Like, so how much can I control that through my own endeavor or, you know, changing my attitude or somehow another, you know, minimizing the kicking but maximizing the purification?
Hmm.
That's the question.
While you were phrasing your question, I thought of one of my little calendar wisdoms that I've saved, and it's from Plato. And he says, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. So I think it may not be necessarily so important to know whether this kicking is... I mean, we're not causing... Well, we are, in one sense. We must accept responsibility for our having chosen to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, which is why we ended up in a material body. The nature of the material body living in the world is it's temporary and it's full of miseries. Dukkalayam asashvatam, guaranteed. So... we don't have to endeavor to get more kicks, but neither will trying to get away from them lessen them. It's more, I think, a matter of our attitude towards the things that occur to us in life. If we see that this is Krishna dealing with me, if we actually try to remember that I don't remember my previous lives, but I must have done something that's making this situation, which appears to me so difficult, to be coming in my path. And probably I deserve worse, because we've all heard Krishna makes things less for the devotees. He's very favorably, kindly inclined towards the devotees. So I deserve worse. I'm getting this. It's a token of what I deserve. If we're thinking like that, the blow may be as hard as if we weren't thinking like that, but we won't suffer as much from it. We'll rather see it that how kind Krishna is to give me only a token of what I deserve. Whereas, you know, a gross materialist will, in fact, I was checking my email on Yahoo, and so these news things come up. And one of them yesterday was, why does God hate me? Well, this poor man, when he was a boy, somehow he'd gotten involved in a fire that burned large areas of his body. And for many years, he'd been having operations, da-da-da-da, in order to replace the skin. And then, I forget what it was, but again, as an adult, he got burned by a terrible fire. And that's all he could think of, was, why does God hate me? I mean, we can laugh because we think, oh, God doesn't hate him, but at the same time, it's like, wow, what a thing to go through. They were describing that when you don't have skin, even they can put medicine into the system, but there's nothing to hold it in. And the medicine itself just drains out. And so you're just in pain, constant pain. So that's, you know, I try to remember, if I'm going through anything, I try to remember things like that, or that, you know, so many parts of the world, people walk out their front door and there's a war going on. And just thank Krishna for the relatively comfortable situation, even though it may not be what I aspire to, but there's always somebody that's worse off. So that's one way of dealing with the kicks, is to understand that on a relative scale, many people are getting kicked much worse than me, and at the same time, they don't have the ability to come and see Radhe Shyam, Krishna Balaram, Gaurani Thai, dance in kirtan, you know, all these wonderful things that we've been gifted with. So that's a way of dealing with disturbances. Does that help at all?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I guess also just one concern is that, well, you know, there's the pain, and so you can relate our experience with others and say, well, I'm so much better off in so many ways, but really just to see it as love, you know, that Krishna, you know, chastises me through these various means. But why? Because he wants me close to him.
Right.
You know, and so all these other things, whether they're bad experiences or good experiences, they're taking me away from Krishna.
Right.
So that's why, you know, we, sukha or dukkha, both, they become so distracting.
Right.
So, you know, that's the, I like that when you're talking about Krishna, all attractive. So, and I think Vrindavan Maharaj, you talked about like the word root, like the word root, attraction, like traction. Like there's some, like the wheels, the tires have traction on the road, so they have some pull.
Right.
And there's like the tractor beam in Star Trek or whatever. You got pulling in, the tractor is pulling the plow. You know? So Krishna is pulling us close to him. And so I just try to remember that. I'm on a short leash. Thank you, Krishna, for keeping me on a short leash.
Right.
And for healing me like a dog heals. Stay close to my heel. So I don't wander astray.
When you were talking about root words, somehow it came in my mind, gravity and grave. Srila Prabhupada and the devotees are said to be very grave. The word grave also means a hole in the ground where the dead body goes. So we think of gravity in the material world, you know. But it's also the force, like Sankarshan, the gravity that pulls the universe, that holds the universe in motion and keeps things going in their proper way. And because I was thinking about Prabhupada's arrival in New York, I was reading some Lilamrita yesterday, and that's one of the things that Sally Agarwal said about Srila Prabhupada, is that although he was very grave, and he usually had a sober expression on his face, actually he was very humorous. You know, so you wish more people could have had the opportunity to spend time with him and see, because sometimes people just look at his, you know, there's so many wonderful smiling pictures, but if a picture of him very grave, like that one he had on his passport when he came, Jadarati asked him at some point, you know, you look so unhappy. And Prabhupada said, oh, that was a moment of ecstasy. You know, he's getting his picture taken so he could go to the West and fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj. Yeah. So that's another one where the root word gives a clue. Things may be serious, but they're not without joy. Sakshi Gopal Prabhu, are you getting ready to go just now? So we all wish you well, you know, safe travels, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Any of the ladies? Okay. Jaya Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.